My message this morning, the title of it is, You Can Rise Above It. And it's my prayer that you rise above every situation or every circumstance that is holding you back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Can I have the amplified version, Ike, if it's possible, please? Oh, I'll just stick with this, Ike. All right. So it's, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator. Thank God in every situation, it says. It doesn't give any boundaries here. It says, thank God. It doesn't give any boundaries, no matter the situation, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. See, this is a really good verse, but my problem with this verse is, if everything is going well in your life, it's easy to thank God. If life is going forward in the positive direction, it's really easy to thank God. If the money is coming in, if you're healthy, it's easy to thank God. But how do you relate this verse to the adversities in life that at times we face? How do you relate this verse to a mother who is just, a young mother who's just been diagnosed of cancer or you just lost your job? How do you relate this verse to it? It doesn't make sense. And in fact, there's a lot of things in the Bible that God says that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. I remember once he says to Abraham, I am going to give you a child, and the child is going to inherit the promise that I've given you. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham just falls down and starts laughing. And then God says, what is the matter, Abraham? It says, and then it says, God, I am 100 years old. My wife is 90. I mean, you tell me how this is impossible. And then he decides to give God an option. He says, God, you know, I've got another son with another woman, Ishmael. Maybe you can help him ask my son to inherit my promise. We don't have to give God options. When he says he's going to do something in your life, he knows exactly what he's going to do, so you have to allow him to do it, whether it makes sense to you or not. You know, if it always has to make sense to you before you believe, if it always has to make sense to you before you believe, then you would not see any significant exploits in your life. You would not see anything. You can't sail in deep waters. There's nothing you can do for you. As far as the Red Sea is concerned, it cannot part for you to go through because it's beyond your level of consciousness. But if it has to make sense to you, then no, you can't see any miracles in your life. So you read this and you think, God, it doesn't make sense to me. It does not make sense to me. But you have to obey him anyway. You have to obey him if you want to walk in your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In every situation, it says, thank God. In every situation, it says, thank God. Thanks. Thanksgiving is something, or gratitude is something that, I don't know what it is about gratitude, but there's something about gratitude that anytime you're able to show gratitude, it has a way of moving God in a way that at times nothing else will move God. Nothing else. And God endorses gratitude anytime. Remember the story in the Bible where one woman was caught for adultery. And then they brought her to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, we just caught this woman in adultery. Should we stone her or not? And Jesus said, look, if you are without sin, be the first to cast a stone upon that woman. And then suddenly everybody starts retreating because they knew they were all sinful. But later on, that woman comes to Jesus with a bottle of perfume. The Bible says it was expensive. It cost maybe a year's wages to buy that. And so she brings it before Jesus. She breaks it and she anoints Jesus with perfume. And everybody around is saying, what is she doing? We can actually sell that perfume and give the money to the poor instead. And then Jesus said, no, leave her alone. That is how she decides to show gratitude to me. Let her do it her way. You see, gratitude, you can show gratitude in many ways. It could be your offering. It could be your sacrifice. It could even be a simple card that you write for someone. You say, here, look, I appreciate everything you do for me. Gratitude, it has a way of interceding for you in a way that at times nothing else can do. Look, I used to work for This guy called Philip Beer, he's a Danish entrepreneur. He owns, I don't know if you know Tiger Stores, if you've heard of Tiger Store. There's so many across the UK now. But when I first joined his company, he had only two stores. There was one in Basingstoke and the other in Hammersmith. And I used to work in the Hammersmith branch. And then later he transferred me to Finchley. But this guy has an ability to show gratitude even to his employees. He just goes beyond the normal one and shows gratitude. He would honor you, he would bless you with so much, and you're thinking, wow, why wouldn't you want to work for an employer like that? Why wouldn't you want to work just because he shows gratitude? And so I wasn't surprised at all when later on I found out that he's got so many stores throughout the UK because people are just ready to work for him. They're just glad to work for him just because of the way he's able to thank you, just the way he's able to show gratitude. You know, so gratitude is something that can lift us out of any affliction that we are going through. It's one of the many steps that we look at. It can lift you out of any affliction that you are going through. I had this guy called Rashid in my cell. He came from Iran initially and joined my cell. And he was sharing his story with me. He said, Godfrey, when I was in Iran, he had to flee Iran because there was war there. He said, when I was in Iran, you know, I remember being shot by one of the soldiers. And as I lay down in pain, crying for help, one of the soldiers walked up to me, and with something looking like a pencil, he started poking it into the bullet hole in my foot. He said, Godfrey, I was crying, I was in pain, pleading with them to stop. They didn't. Eventually, they threw him in prison. He said, look, Godfrey, the prison is so short. I mean, you couldn't fully bend, you couldn't fully stand up. You're just like that for days. And as if that wasn't bad enough, he said, one day, they came up to him and said, look, that's your death warrant. Tomorrow you die. And I said, oh my God. So he says, God, I went down on my knees and I said, God, you know my heart. Deliver me from this. So somehow he managed to flee Iran, made his way to Italy and then France and then eventually UK. But this guy, if you see his guy, the way he's able to think, he will come to sell. And after sell, he'd be offering me money. He said, Godfrey, I'm so thankful to you for the word you shared to me. I said, no, that's not what it's all about. I don't want money. He said, no, please take it. If you don't take it, I'm not coming to sell anymore. I said, Rashid, don't be silly. I'm not taking the money. But you see, that is how he shows his gratitude. There was this day, one Wednesday, he comes carrying a bag of rice behind him. He said, Godfrey, this is rice for you. This is Iranian's finest. You eat this, you will not go back to your basmati or long grain again. I said, what? I said, no. Rashid, you don't have to. I said, Godfrey, this is from my heart. Now, gratitude. Now, why wouldn't I pray for somebody like this when I'm having my quiet time? Why wouldn't I pray? Because he knows how to thank people. He knows how to honor people. So why wouldn't I pray for somebody like that? Gratitude. It's got a way of interceding for you in certain ways that at times it doesn't make sense. And so when God is saying in every situation, give thanks, he knows what he's talking about. Gratitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's my prayer this morning that you will rise above every situation that is holding you back. Another point that I want to touch about is not giving up. Not giving up when you're going through situations and circumstances. Not giving up. You remember when the Israelites, they were going from Egypt into the promised land. The Bible says for 40 years, God fed them with manna. 40 years. I mean, they were so blessed that they took it for granted. Literally, all they had to do was go out, collect the manna in the morning, collect the manna in the afternoon and in the evening and eat. They didn't have to do anything. They were so blessed, they took it for granted. And then one day, the Bible says they became fed up with the manna. And they said to Moses, Moses, we are fed up with this manna. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. What's the deal here, Moses? We are fed up with this. And then Moses repeated this in the ears of God. So God said, oh, really? After all I've done for you? Is that how you choose to show your gratitude? After all I've done for you, 40 years feeding you free of charge, and that's how you decide to thank me? Do you know that eventually God withdrew the manna? And as a result, those people did not make it into the promised land in gratitude. And this is the lesson I learned from it. What you take for granted consistently, what you take for granted on a consistent basis will eventually be taken away. You apply to any area of your life, your friendships, your wealth, your health, your family, apply to any, your jobs, apply to any area. anything you take for granted on a consistent basis will eventually be taken away. You would lose it. And that's what comes at times from ingratitude. When you're not grateful for what God has given you and you take things for granted, eventually you lose it. Hallelujah. May we rise above any negative thing that will stop us from getting our blessing in Jesus' name. So the Israelites are moving from Egypt into the promised land. And now they are out of the wilderness. And God says to Joshua, the first city you are going to conquer is Jericho. And this is what he says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 6. He says, see, Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hands. I have given Jericho. He's talking in the past. And as far as God is concerned, it's done. It's done. I have given it to you. It's done. But then Joshua looks at Jericho and he says, Lord, but all I see is walls. In fact, the Bible says Jericho was tightly shut so that nobody could come in and nobody could go out. And so God is saying to Joshua, look, I have given you Jericho. And all he's seeing is walls. He says, Lord, this is tightly shut. How? What do you mean you've given it to me? And at times it feels like that. At times it feels like, God, you've given me this promise. And yet I look at myself and it doesn't feel like that. God, you said you've healed me. And I look at myself and it doesn't feel like that. What is the deal here? It doesn't feel, do you at times feel that way? That you get a prophecy, but then you look into your life and say, God, how is this going to happen? You're saying you've given me this already, and yet all I see is walls. All I see is walls. And God said to Joshua, I need you to go around Jericho 6 times, once every day. And then on the 7th day, I want you to do it 7 times. So Joshua instructs his men to do it. And then they start doing. So they go around Jericho the first time. They go around Jericho the second time. They do it the third time, the fourth time. And now you would think that as you go around the walls, you will see signs that the wall wants to collapse. You think that, oh, you know, I've done it. So let's see signs that this wall is going to collapse. But no, it was as solid as ever. And at times it's like that. We pray to God and we think, look, we want to see signs that our prayer, I'll call it incremental progress. I want to see something happening when I pray. I want to see you moving your hand when I pray. But at times it's not always the case. And that is where most people give up. Because they think they've done all the all nights. They think they've done all the half nights. They've done the prayers. They've done everything. And yet their situation is not changing. And at that point, most people will give up. But you see, you giving up for you, it's not an option. Especially when God has given you that promise. It's not an option. You cannot give up. Conquerors don't give up. You can't, because otherwise you've come that far and you're giving up. You will lose it. You will lose it. So are you ready to stand still and not to give up? Even when you see the walls of Jericho, in your life not moving, are you ready to fight on and not give up? Are you ready to fight and not give up? And the funny thing though, you see, Jericho, Joshua did not tell his men that after 6 days or 7 days, the walls will come down. They didn't know that. They were just instructed to go around the walls. And I'm sure as they were doing, at some point, they're thinking, Joshua, we came here to fight. We didn't come for a match or a stroll. What is this business of going round the walls? And they're probably scratching their heads thinking, Joshua might be losing it, you know, going round the walls. But they were obedient. They did not complain. They did not moan. They did what Joshua asked them. And guess what? Eventually, the walls came down. Eventually, your walls will come down. Hallelujah, if you don't give up. Now, you see, my question is, praise Jesus. My question is, if you give up, how do you know that day you give up? How do you know maybe the next time you come to all night or the next time you come to half night or the next time you go to your closet in prayer, how do you know it's the last match that brings the walls down? How do you know? You wouldn't know until you carry on. So when you give up, then you lose what God has for you because you chose to give up. How do you know it's your last match that is going to bring the walls down? You don't, so you cannot afford to give up. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, I will not give up. And I will rise above every situation. Hallelujah. There's another point that I haven't mentioned because I'm thinking we do it naturally, and that's prayer, you know. When something happens to you, if it's naturally you want to pray, you know, you pray to God. But there's no point praying to God and not following the advice he gives you. So you pray to God and then you listen to every other voice except the instruction God gives you. What's the point? When you pray to God concerning your situation, you say, Lord, what path do you want me to take concerning this situation? What path do you want me to take concerning this legal case? What path do you want me to take concerning my health? What path do you want me to take concerning my marriage? And God will start bringing you direction, and then you listen to everybody else except God. You will fail. You know, you need to find out from God the path you should take. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ike, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Please give it to me in the Amplified version. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those works which God predestined, planned before us, taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we will walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us to live." It's saying here that God has a path already for you. That's already prepared for you. Yours is just to walk in it. Yours is just to take that path that God has for you and walk in it. That's where the good life it says. So now imagine now, God is saying you need to go to path A, and then you choose to take path B. Guess what happens? You don't have grace for path B because that's not God has ordained for you. So you walk on that path and there's hurdles coming and you're not able to overcome it and you don't understand what is happening. It's because you are not choosing the right path that God has for you. And you're here saying, but how do I know the path God has for me? How can I tell? I have got no idea. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your..." Thank you. He will direct your path. So if you acknowledge that, "God, I have no idea the path you want me to take concerning this situation. I acknowledge that you are God over every situation in my life. Lead me and guide me." There you are. He will guide you concerning that situation. Hallelujah. See, we have no excuse to fail. We have every strength from God to rise above every adversity that we are going through. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as you're going to follow these principles, you can rise above it in Jesus' name. You can rise above it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I want to, there's one more point I want to talk about. And it's humility. Humility. Now, humility is not letting people walk over you. No. Humility is the quality of having a low opinion of your importance. Having a low opinion of your importance. "Ah, no, I'm too big for this. I'm too big for this. I'm not going to do this. This is way beneath my dignity. No, I'm not going to do this." Humility. Do you know humility nearly cost Naaman his miracle? No, sorry, pride nearly cost Naaman his miracle because he refused to be humble. Naaman was a Syrian army commander. He had everything going for him. He had the wealth, he had money, he had the fame, he was powerful. But then he had a skin condition. So he went to see the man of God. He said, "Look, I need healing." And the man of God said, "Look, go into the Jordan River, wash yourself 7 times in the river, and you receive your healing." He was angry. "How dare you tell me to go wash?" That's pride. "How dare you tell me to go wash in the Jordan? Do you know who I am? There are better rivers where I come from in Damascus. How dare you tell me this?" And in anger, he storms off, thinking he's walking away from the prophet. Little did he know that he was walking away from his miracle. He was walking away from his breakthrough. Then thankfully, he had a servant girl. And then the servant girl said, "Master, he's the man of God. He knows what he's talking about. Just try it anyway." So in humility, he goes back and then dips in the Jordan 7 times. He dips in 7 times, and then suddenly he has his breakthrough. Humility. Now you look at that story, you see all the traces. Because of his humility, he was able to overcome his adversity. And later on, actually, he was grateful for what the prophet did. He did go to give the prophet some gifts, but the prophet refused. But you see, humility and gratitude, it can always get you out of every situation that you find yourself in. I mean, think about somebody like Job. Job. In one day, the Bible says, he lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, and 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, that is enough to drive anybody crazy. In one day, you lose everything. But see the way he reacted. He was so humble. He said, "God, you gave." Even though God doesn't take away, he said, "God, you give, and you've taken away." He started worshiping God and he started thanking God. You know the clip we saw, he said, you can be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you have. He chose to thank God. And the Bible says God turned the situation around and he gave him a double portion of what he had before. You know, in life, there are times that you find yourself in situations that you are not prepared for. Even if you are prepared for it, at times situations will go on so long that you say, God, how do I deal with this? But if you realize that life is a test, you realize that anything that comes your way has significance for your growth. It has significance for your blessing. It has significance to turn your situation around. And so it's up to you to say, God, I don't know how to deal with this situation. And I need your help to be able to overcome this situation. And when you do that, no matter how bad the affliction you are going through, or no matter how bad your problem is going through, it will always end in praise. It will always end in praise. Hallelujah. Shall we bow down our heads? Maybe you are here this morning or this afternoon, and maybe you feel just like the walls of Jericho. You feel you've marched and marched and marched around your situation for so long, and you're not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. You think that, God, when is this going to end? I've prayed all the prayers I can pray. I've been to all the churches I can go to. I've heard all the prophecies of God, and yet my situation is the same. I pray today that God, in his mercy, if for any reason you're on the wrong path, God will put you back where you belong, where that good life is promises. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift your children here before you. I thank you that you created them and you know the plans you have for them. I thank you that there's nowhere the enemy can pluck them from your hand because they are destined for success. Father, I rebuke every plan of the enemy concerning their lives. And I ask that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you will bring them back to where they belong. Father, I pray for the times that we've taken things for granted in our lives and not stopped to thank you. Today we repent of it, O God, and we give you the glory. Father, we curse every spirit of pride that will stop us from achieving what we have. And I pray that, God, we will walk in the plans and the purposes that we have. I thank you so much, Father, for the awesome work you're doing. I thank you for renewing minds. I thank you for transforming minds. I thank you, God, for what you are going to do today. I thank you that, Lord, somebody's life will never ever be the same again after today because of what you've done. I give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.